February 21st, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is the star. He's Mr. Ira Kaufman. Enough of me. How are you, Ira? You look good.
I'm doing well. 3 days away from the Academy Awards, the Kemper. I'm looking at you, Lee, thinking that you've seen about one picture that's going to be mentioned in that three-hour broadcast. One. Which one?
I don't even know if I have.
I would say you've seen A Star Is Born because you like Lady Gaga. How do you like that?
No, I have not seen that. No, I don't
absolutely
like Lady
not.
Gaga.
And as for you, Isbits, you've seen zero. Absolutely nothing. You're a busy man. Meanwhile, my wife and I, we frequent the theaters. We plunked down our $16 senior discount, of course. You know, it's starting to bother me because every movie that we seem to go into, there's like three people in the theater. Our tastes are absolutely opposite of the public's taste.
Yeah, it is.
I don't go in for the Marvel superheroes. You told me about Samantha Fish today. I don't know anything about her. You showed me a video.
Now you know.
I'm interested. But next week, our man DeKemper will be roaming the streets of Indianapolis. He'll start in Shapiro's Deli with a nice pastrami sandwich. And then Lee, I believe on Wednesday morning, you'll be firing questions at the new coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, hopefully. The NFL hasn't released a schedule, and the NFL being the NFL, they'll probably release a schedule Monday night. If past years are consistent with this year, Wednesday morning, light and Arians.
And then you're going to get them off to the side as part of the local media group.
Yeah. If past years are consistent, yes. But I have no idea what the Bucs have planned. I have no idea what the NFL has planned. But technically.
And then DeKemper gets them for 45 minutes in March in Phoenix. And while DeKemper is piling his plate on with that breakfast buffet, the bacon, the potatoes, the whole schmear, the muffins, he's going to go up and sit at that table, and he's going to look at Bruce Arians, and he's got a bowl of cereal in front of him.
Well,
you're going to feel very guilty over there, Stephen.
Isbits is going to Arizona. I won't be. However, who knows what may happen at St. Elmo's or other such haunts or Hooters or, hell, even...
You've got a lot of experience at St. Elmo's. For those listeners who've never been to Indy, it's a classic steakhouse. Famous for the shrimp cocktail, which is a little tangy, would you say, Lee?
Yeah, it has a little bite to it.
And a lot of the coaches assistant coaches, GMs and assistant GMs hang out there. I wouldn't put it past you to run past a Buck contingent at St. Elmo's. And you better carry a big billfold because, it's nice to buy Bruce Arians a drink over there, Lee, once in a while. Dig into your pocket.
Well, fortunately, it's the 21st century, so I just have to have a piece of plastic. I don't need a big billfold. I will say that...
Do you carry any money at all, DeKemper? I know we're getting off topic because Isbit's got 42 buck topics, but you got more than a dollar in your pocket right now, Lee?
Because I went to Publix last night, and I got $20. So, yeah, I got $20. I'm like a lot of people. I'm pretty much a cashless society. I write 2 checks a year. One is to my landscaper.
Wow. One's to your tax man.
Oh, no, that's plastic, too.
Oh, my God.
That's plastic, too. So.
Isbits, you got any cash in pocket?
Always got a little cash. All right, that was the voice of Lee DeKemper. I'm Steve Isbits. If you're new to the podcast, you can find it on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Typical threesome last podcast, you guys.
You never know what topic we're going to get into on this thing, Steven.
Held down the fort, and I actually made have a grievance from the last podcast. That's going to...
I think I know what that is.
I'll take that at the end.
What is this, Festivus for the rest of us? The airing of the grievances?
Not plural, just one grievance.
All right.
But we can hit on that much later. It's really nothing significant. But
now you're just back from the wintry Northeast.
Yeah, back from the Northeast.
Northeast. So you had a little freezing rain, Steve.
Glad to be back home. Was not a vacation there by any stretch of the imagination, but glad to be back. Now, Sage, here we are, less than 3 weeks from free agency now, and I wanted to throw this at you. It's obvious, and it even became more obvious with some information that I got that, if it wasn't obvious already, Caleb Benenach, absolute disaster at right guard. And, yeah, it's true that Alex Kappa couldn't beat him out, and Evan Smith couldn't beat him out. So that's a threesome failure there.
What an indictment.
For the general manager and the coach picking those guards. And, of course, make it a foursome when you've got J.R. Sweezy, the guy they let go, and they had enough money, is a Pro Bowl alternate.
You don't forget anything, Steve.
Well, that's what happened at right guard. So the Bucs need a right guard. They need a right guard. And one name I wanted to throw out at you, which we haven't talked about before, and just wanted to get your general feelings on guard, is Ramon Foster. of the Steelers, 10 years in. He is a projected free agent. He's never gotten a big payday from the Steelers.
Part of a group that's widely considered one of the best offensive lines in football.
Exactly. Now they're without Mike Munchak, who Foster was a huge outspoken proponent of, and he's sort of overshadowed by some
He's not as good as DeCastro. DeCastro's the stud.
So, look, he's 33, but he played 16 games. He's still effective. And I learned that Arians was after him in 2013 because Arians coached him before. What's your thoughts of Foster at that age, paying a guy like that, and then just a right guard, Ira?
Well, I think he would fall into that category, Lee, of a bridge player. Maybe a bridge player. Maybe you're going to draft a guard in the second round. It would be nice not to have to play him immediately, Lee. That is something that has been lost in translation during this 11-year disaster playoff drought. They got to get back to the old Bucks where you make good draft picks, you got veterans playing, and you move these guys in behind them when they're ready. Otherwise, what are we seeing now? You draft a guy and he's got to play. It usually doesn't work.
If he can play.
If he can play. I got another guy, Lee, and you've been doing your research. Not sure how to pronounce the guy. It's not Darrell Revis. Don't worry about that. It's the Arizona guard.
Yeah, something like Buchanan or something
like that. No, Iapudo.
Oh, guard.
Iapati.
Iapati.
Oh, Iapati, yeah.
You know, cagey veteran. Now, he's had injury issues.
Yes, yes.
Which Foster has not. But when healthy, he's a good player. Mm-hmm. Arian's well familiar with him. He doesn't fit into Arizona's plans. They're going young. They got a lot of money to spend. And the Bucks don't. I don't think he's going to command a big contract. He could fall into that category of guys that Arians is familiar with, that he's comfortable with. And I know Ellington is not going to be the end of that infusion.
No, Ellington at best.
Ellington's going to be a third back.
Yeah, he's Jacquizz Rodgers. Well, Jacquizz Rodgers was the Dirk Cutter. Ellington is the Bruce Arians. Now, about 2-3 weeks ago, I wrote about Iupati. I'm thinking the same way. The only trick is Iupati's only played left guard.
Are you sure about that?
Well, I looked it up in Pro Football Reference, and that's all he played, is left guard.
All right.
Now, when healthy, he's excellent. And you're right.
Well, we don't want to move Marpet back to right guard.
There you go. Do we play musical chairs with Marpet again?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can Iupati play right guard? I don't know. You know, that, we'll find out eventually. But, yeah, that's another name I thought of as well.
The Steelers, some people think they've had the best offensive line since they drafted Roethlisberger. He's well protected, Steve. He's not a big mover, but he doesn't get sacked all that often. Foster's a good player. And if Arians wanted him that first year in the desert, 2013, it's coming around 6 years later, and he's going to be available.
Real quick, one reason why the Steelers have had such good offensive lines, yes, you got to have talent. But they arguably had two of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL for about 12 years. You know, the Steelers don't have much of a turnover with
That's right.
And when Cowher was there, he had Russ Grimm as an offensive line coach. Now, Grimm left when Tomlin got hired.
That's
Grimm,
a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, and Grimm was a finalist for that job, head coaching job. He went to Arizona, yep. Did he, right? However, after Grimm left, they brought Munchak in. And Munchak, obviously, has been there since this past, you know,
Another
last
Hall
few weeks.
Famer.
Yeah,
Hall
I mean, guys know what they're doing. They've been through the ropes themselves,
That's
so
right.
to speak.
Foster, Ira, signed. He just finished a 3-year, $9 million deal, which is peanuts for a quality starting right guard. That might be an interesting angle there.
They're not going to draft the guard with the number 5 pick. That's not going to happen.
No. Yeah, we could talk a little bit about trading down a little bit later, Ira. But I do want to mention all the tremendous offers at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. The Instacash trade event is on at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. And the President's Day sale has been extended at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Let's hear a little more about that. At Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, General Manager Brian Danahy, he now has your chance to get a 2019 CTS sedan, only $279 a month, plus get up to $5,000 more for your trade. Hurry to the big President's Day sale. It's been extended at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorriscadillactampa.com. That's edmorriscadillactampa.com. Get all the details. And, of course, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, they are right there on Causeway Boulevard. 0% APR for 72 months for qualified buyers on 2018 CT6, 2018 XT5, and the 2018 Escalade. Go to edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. Click on EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com for all the details. Of course, Ira's been out there many times, and they have many, many fantastic offers that you'll find there. The Instacash trade event continues. 2019 Cadillac Escalade, $869 per month lease. All new 2019 Cadillac XT4 luxury is available, $359 per month lease. Get all the details at EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. All right, Sage. Now, we're going to get you that Cadillac. One of these days, Ira, we're going to get you that Cadillac. I know you had
it. It still comes up on the tennis court, Steve. Everybody's asking me.
The message from on President's Day. I know it's passed, but the sale is extended. Is that from WWE President Jack Tunney?
One of these days, Steve. I've been hearing that for about 2.5 years.
Yeah, that car accident of yours threw a little wrench in things, and the calzone, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
All right, Every time I hear calzone, I think of you, unfortunately.
I won't take another calzone to go. I won't do it. I'm superstitious. I'm going to eat it right there.
But that was a Seinfeld episode. The cop asked you what kind of calzone you have.
Where did I get it? Yeah.
That's right. We won't take another one to go. That's great. That's fantastic, Ira.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question right now, Steve.
He doesn't like calzones.
I got a grievance.
Oh, you're beating him to the punch.
Now, I'm going to throw it right back on his bits because this is a big topic. It's a big one. I wrote about it the other day.
It's not his fault you got $500 less.
I understand. Steve, are you convinced, absolutely convinced, without a shred of argument on the other side, Donovan Smith's going to be on the Bucks in 2019. Are you totally convinced that that's going to happen?
Yes.
Okay. Lee, are you?
98.
Okay.
98%, yeah.
And the main reason, Steve, they can't do any better? They can't do any better?
No, the main reason is because I think that's what everybody wants.
He ain't coming cheap, Stevie.
Well,
even on a franchise.
No, the franchise is the franchise. You don't pick what that is, but I think he'll sign it, and that'll be that.
Arians thinks he's adequate. He's adequate.
Well, it's all about the marketplace. But, you know, those things can change. People, weird things can happen. You never know what team is going to start dangling their left tackle.
What if they fall in love with a rookie left tackle with the number 5 pick, Lee?
I don't know if there is one. But here's the thing. Arians has already said he's not in a rebuild mode. He's already said, before he got hired by the Bucks, that the way offensive lines are now, it takes 2 to 3 years, maybe 4 years to develop him. And he said, if you're going to develop a guy for 3 years, you're developing him for the next coach.
I guess my question, Steve, it comes back to, is Donovan Smith a playoff caliber left tackle? Is he or is he not?
Well, yeah, sure, because he wasn't the problem when they went 9-7. It wasn't that, if Donovan Smith was better, we would have made the playoffs.
And they ran for more than 2,000 yards that year.
So, actually, Lee, real quick, that was the year before they ran for 2,000 yards in 2015, not 2016. So
it was rookie season.
Well, no, they were 6-10 as rookie season. They were 9-7 the year after.
Oh,
they didn't run the ball.
No.
I thought Donovan Smith as a rookie, they ran really well with Doug.
They did.
As a rookie.
Okay. Yeah. They did as a rookie.
You and I go round and round about this. You're offensive line.
I am.
I'm running back. A lot of people tend to forget the Bucs won a Super Bowl with a starting right tackle by the name of Kenyatta Walker. So,
and a running back named Michael Pittman.
He had his best game in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he had his best game in the Super Bowl, no question.
Are they dusting off a bust for Michael Pittman?
What I'm saying is, you know, if you can win a Super Bowl right with Kenyatta Walker as your right tackle, Donovan Smith is not the problem.
Wait a minute. The same Michael Pittman who tried to run his wife over with his car signed.
Don't you forget anything, Steve.
Kareem Hunt was no good. And meanwhile, Michael Pittman could have been up for attempted murder with what he did. Yeah. So that's a whole other story.
Screams about Jameis.
All right, what's on your list?
Who's never stood in front of a judge.
I got
Sage,
you.
Adam Humphries, very interesting. I read something out of Boston. And if you really start searching free agency in general, you realize that Humphries is probably, at least based on the media perception, the most in-demand Buccaneers free agent. Even Donovan Smith out there who could be a free agent. Humphries.
Quan.
Whoever it is, Humphries is the guy that is everywhere on radar. Now, out of Boston, they were saying that Humphries is basically a great fit for the Patriots for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
One, Edelman entering the last year of his contract. He's 32, 33, and not making a lot of money
Who
this year.
Who says they want to get rid of Edelman?
I never said they did. But typical Bill Belichick would be, okay, finish your contract, Edelman. You're 33 years old now. See you later. We got Humphreys. We're younger. We're whatever.
He loves Edelman.
But the point out of, and the interesting, the number two receiver, and it was pretty close in New England last year, number two receiver was Josh Gordon. And nobody had 1,000 yards.
That's why people think Antonio Brown could end up in New England.
Correct. Or anyway, point is that they talked in Boston about, well, maybe Humphreys would like to leave the Bucs because he would like to go somewhere where he has an increased role, where he might be used outside and inside and be more of a go-to guy. And I never really thought of that Humphreys is a guy who could even handle a bigger role, but if that's in his mind, if he thinks of himself that way, he might just be out of here on playing time because he might see, well, okay, we got Mike Evans, we got all these tight ends, we've got they love Godwin, and they might sign a guy like John Brown. What am I doing here?
Hold on. I got a memo for Adam Humphreys, who we love. You ain't Julio Jones. You ain't A.J. Green. You ain't Mike Evans, and you're not Antonio Brown. Stay in your lane. Take it easy. You're a good slot receiver. And if you go to New England, as long as Edelman's there, you're going to be the number two slot receiver. You're not taking Edelman's spot, nor should you. He's got an incredible rapport with Brady. If anybody saw Brady after the Super Bowl hugging Edelman, it looked like it was about a 7-minute hug. That's more than he gives Giselle over there.
I wouldn't go 7 minutes with Giselle anyway. Don't worry.
You'd last about 30 seconds, Steve. The Bucs don't want Humphreys to go, and I don't think Humphreys should leave, but I'm not going to argue Steve's point. He's coveted. All it takes is one team. If it's not New England, it'll be another team. Another team that thinks he can be their Edelman. Now, I don't think he's as good as Edelman. Very few are. You know, they had Wes Welker, who was great. Now they got Edelman. I watched Edelman in that Super Bowl. The guy's one of the craftiest receivers I've ever seen in terms of his routes and his moves, his little subtleties. The guy knows how to get open. Now, Humphreys, to a lesser degree. But if I'm the Bucs, I make every effort to bring Humphreys back. I think they would miss him. I don't think Godwin is necessarily a slot receiver. They don't have anybody to take Humphrey's spot, necessarily. But there's a chance they're going to lose him, Lee. I don't think New England's the place for Humphreys. I think there's going to be other suitors.
Yeah, we're all speculating here, but I'm pretty sure Belichick traffics in the following. And I think you've said this before, Ira. What was Bill Walsh famous for?
Getting rid of people a year too early rather than a year too late.
Ding, ding, ding. Edelman's 32.
He's a Super Bowl MVP.
And what was Joe Montana?
He's got one more year left, Edelman.
All right.
Well, Joe Montana.
What are you going to do with Humphreys in 2019 while Edelman's still there? What are you going to do with Humphreys? Put him on the outside?
Hey, for some reason up in Boston, they believe that the two could coexist, no problem. I don't know, Ira. I don't know the Patriots' offense's intricacies necessarily.
If the Bucs want to keep Humphreys, shouldn't they keep Humphreys if they want to?
It's all about the check.
Didn't Joel Glazer tell me years ago, we don't lose free agents that we want to keep? I believe he said that to me directly.
Yeah, he says a lot of things.
Yeah, it's all about the check. Sean,
is that a shot over there?
It's not a shot, but it all went out the window for me on a couple of things with that. Go ahead.
Beasley with Dallas is a free agent. I don't think he's any better than Humphreys.
He's not as good as Humphreys.
And Dallas has loads of cap room. Loads.
He's not as good as Humphreys.
Hey, Eagles need a slot receiver. Yeah, they might not be able to bring back Golden Tate. The Lions are still reeling because they let Golden Tate go, yep, and they couldn't replace him.
Hey, Bruce Arians needs a slot receiver.
They're talking Adam Humphreys in Green Bay. He's a perfect fit up there.
Yes, he would be a good fit in Green Bay. Similar to Green Bay, but not as much as Dallas. He'd be a fan favorite in Dallas. The marketing opportunities there for life, not just for a little bit, not for a couple of years, for life. He could be set up for a career.
Look, guys.
Same thing in New England.
You're making a good
same
point.
Thing in New England.
Humphreys could feel this is his moment to cash in and make his move. And the timing, they could lose him. There's no question about it.
That would be fascinating. But what makes it interesting is we are 20 days from that decision. They don't want Humphreys to test the market. If you don't want him to test the market, then you have to sign him before then.
Who would have thought a year ago that Adam Humphreys could be one of the most coveted free agents in the marketplace?
Well, no one expected him to have a career year last year. And here's the thing. You had malcontent DeSean Jackson. I love Mike Evans. You know that. I love Mike Evans. I like Chris Godwin. But there was no question who was the most consistent wide receiver last year. Humphreys, game in, week out, he performed.
Well, Evans had 8 100-yard games.
And he also had a couple games late in the season where he didn't do a whole lot. Now, of course, fans are saying, oh, it's DeSean Jackson wasn't there. You know, every year I see playoff games, and I don't see DeSean Jackson out there. Yet teams figure out a way to get balls to receivers.
Look,
so.
I can't argue your point. DeSean Jackson's not going to be here, and if they lose Humphreys, they're going to have a hole. They will have a hole.
Well, it, as Lee said, it'll come back to money because, and as you have said, Ira, Bruce Arians is calling the shots here. Let's just call it what it is.
If he wants somebody, they're going to get him.
Right. Yeah. But also, he might say, I'm not paying that much for a slot receiver. That's
right.
Insane,
that's
guys.
Right.
Let him go.
So he might take a Cole Beasley at a lesser,
I don't know. It will be very interesting to see what happens with Humphreys, what he actually gets paid. I still don't think it'll be crazy money. But
how much of a factor is this? You know Jameis wants him. How much does that weigh
in? I think it's a factor.
Don't think that's a factor. It can't be a factor. It can't.
By the way, there's a wide receiver on Arizona. The guy's been an underachiever, but Arians might like this guy. Am I wrong? J.J. Nelson?
Yeah, he's real underachiever.
Real underachiever. They might be able to pick him up on a flyer, and Arians might think he's got the speed to contribute.
Look, the last I checked, and Arians implied this initially when he got here, they really like Justin Watson. Big athletic talent. They like him. Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere. So there's that, too.
Boy, all right,
I got a question for you, which is coming up soon. And this, I can't wait to hear what you and Lee think on this. Now, Gerald McCoy, before we get to McCoy, though, we know that the Bucs have bungled from a front office standpoint the release of players and players important to the franchise in the past, Derek Brooks being the number one example. Now, you have been on the record saying that Gerald McCoy is a Ring of Honor guy.
I am.
You say he's a slam dunk Ring of Honor. So, if they get rid of Gerald McCoy, how do you do it? What's the right way to do it? And is it possible, there's two parts to this, is it possible they keep McCoy all the way up until the 53-man roster is due and then release him at that time? Because if you cut McCoy early, you know where he's probably going to go? The New Orleans Saints. Because they just lost Rankins, and they might use him as a stopgap. Sean Payton loves the guy. They were hanging out at the Pro Bowl two Pro Bowls ago, having breakfast together.
So now you got to face him twice
so
a year.
Do you worry about McCoy and his feelings, or do you make him Michael Clayton kind of salary cap cut at the end of the year and say, sorry, Gerald, we love you, but we just didn't think you could cut it? And then at least you're off the hook if, let's say, Vea pulls his calf again. You still have McCoy, and you don't have to deal with it. How do you do it?
Early. I think you do it early. I think you do it before the draft, maybe even before free agency. You free up your cash. Lee, I could see it happening. I could see a release from the Bucks in the next couple of weeks. Look, Lee, we can't have narrow vision. This happens all over the league. Big names get released. He's a big name. He's got his detractors. He's got his supporters. I'm not sure which group outweighs the other around here. We've heard from both of them.
I would say the detractors are, unfortunately.
Nobody would be shocked if they move on from McCoy. I'm sticking with that. He's a Ring of Honor. Somebody's got to represent the decade of the 2010 to 2019. I mean, who's going to represent it? Lavonnie David and Gerald McCoy.
No, I got a representative.
About Brent Grimes.
It's called a toilet bowl. You put a toilet bowl up there. It's the lost generation.
Well, but even during the lost years, the Paul Gruber years, you had Gruber.
Okay, DeMar Dotson.
Come on, Lee.
He's a nice guy like Gruber.
He's a nice guy. But, Lee, I don't think you wait till the last minute if you're going to cut McCoy. I think that decision might have already been made. That doesn't mean I think they're cutting him. But I think the decision's already been made, what they're going to do with McCoy. And I think it would happen in the next few weeks.
I don't know what to think. I really don't. Here's the thing. If the Bucs, in my view, if the Bucs could have gotten a free agent defensive end, and that's not going to happen. If they could have, then I would have used the salary allocated for Gerald McCoy and put that in a pot for defensive end. I don't think it's going to happen. Therefore, I think they keep McCoy only for that reason, and they hopefully draft the defensive end with number 5. Hopefully. Louis Riddick, this past week, I try to watch NFL Live, because every once in a while they'll talk about the Bucs, and I zip through the rest of the nonsense. And Louis Riddick is adamant that the way the NFL has changed, you know, defensively, you can't guard anybody. There's only one position that affects the game defensively. And you could argue that was all backed up in the playoffs. Defensive end. Somebody, in Riddick's own words, someone that can hunt the quarterback. You have to have that guy. And that's why I've been
with the Rams, it would be defensive tackle. You know, but
yes, but Wade Phillips is smart enough to get those guys around. But you're right, yeah.
I think Riddick's point is right. I think Riddick's overall point is right. I don't care what kind of corners you got with the rules now. If you don't have a rush, Steve, a consistent rush, you're going to get roasted. You're going to get toasted. Sometimes you can have a rush like the Chiefs had, a good rush this year. They still got roasted. That's how hard it is to play pass defense in this league.
Perfect example to back up what you're saying. The Rams tore them apart. However, they got the Goff. Didn't they have Goff fumble in the end zone?
Yes, yes.
And that was and they got a turnover.
Yes,
so
yes.
That's how that guy, you can have a rotten defense, but he can cover for
you. If you can get a couple of turnovers, force a couple of turnovers a game, that's how you win, you know, with today's playing today's defensive rules. You got to force some turnovers. A sack strip, that's how you hang in
now,
there.
Now, granted, a lot of people are listening, a lot of our fans, and I love the listeners, don't get me wrong. You know, they're going to be screaming. Right now, as I'm talking, they're probably screaming, JPP, JPP. Love JPP. JPP is going to be 32 when his contract is over with after the 2020 season, and it's hard to believe that 2020 season is around the corner. It's next year.
I'm not sure you can rely on JPP to have the same year, Steve. I think that could be a problem if you're counting on that.
A lot of ways to look at that. Quan Alexander was on the radio yesterday, Sage, saying he thinks JPP will be significantly better, predicts a 16 or 17 sack season for JPP, and he wasn't even asked about that. So
depends if he gets more help.
I don't know. My hope is that if they get rid of McCoy, well, you have to see if he can be a draft day trade for a fourth round pick. Somebody's probably going to want him, even if it's Chucky for a fifth rounder or something. Yeah, the guy's a good football player. You would think somebody will pay him and give the Bucks at least something if you're going to ditch him. But, you know, you can't look at the draft until free agency's over to talk about it intelligently. I'm somebody rooting for the Bucks to trade down. If Arians knows what he's doing with talent, there's so much talent in this draft on the D-line. I hope at least at the combine, you know, when Lee's there and we all watch it, that everybody lights it up. So there's all the quarterbacks shine, and everybody's just dying to trade up.
I don't see this quarterback class as the same as last year.
No.
I don't see it.
You're right. You're correct.
So in terms of everybody wants to get ahead, you know, of the number six guy, so you make a deal with the Bucks to slide into the number five spot, I think that's unlikely.
Kyler Murray's the X factor. That's the X factor. I mean, there's still a lot of old-school NFL GMs that, he's not a first-round pick, but you got enough new.
Well, I'm not saying he's not a first-round pick, but I'm saying he's not a top-five pick.
All it takes is one, and it depends. I mean, he's the X factor because a lot of old-school NFL guys don't believe he's a high first-round pick. Others think he is. Now, there's speculation out there. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, he could have been blowing smoke. We don't know. When Kingsbury was in college, you know, he was saying, oh, my gosh, it's Kyler Murray, which he was. He was electric in college. And obviously Kingsbury came from the same conference, the Big 12, and he was like, man, if I was running the NFL team, he's no doubt a first rounder. Now he's running an NFL team, him and Kimes. So that's always interesting. There's speculation out there that they would trade Rosen. Now, there's a salary cap implication, but, you know, you want to trade a guy, salary cap doesn't mean the hit on his salary cap. People will overlook that.
Steve, sometimes you trade down, and it looks good on paper. You know, the Bucks got the extra picks, and they drafted the two corners in the second round. And they got Vea, who played better in December. But Steve, check me if I'm wrong. Didn't Roquan Smith go somewhere between where the Bucks traded down and where they picked Vea?
Yep.
He's a hell of a player.
Yep.
He would look very good in a Buck uniform.
We started the podcast with Jason Light's whiffs at guard, and you look, the Bucks. I wrote this the other day, Sage. The Bucks needed one cornerback to shine last year out of Hargraves, Davis, Stewart, Ryan Smith. None of them shined as a standout special player.
Plus, they need another cornerback.
None of them. And on top of those four, you had Brent Grimes went in the toilet, didn't want to cover anybody because he wasn't paid enough. So that they completely struck out at corner. You can't do that.
That's why, unfortunately, I am completely against trading down because here last year, Light came away with a theft from Buffalo. A backpack full of picks. And what'd he get out of it?
If they take a corner at five, a greedy Williams, if they do, is that Light acknowledging he blew the 2018 draft?
Look, I don't think Light's in charge of the of who to pick, so I can't do that. I can't go there.
You know,
I buy into what you said, which is that Arians is running the show.
Ira, you might have to call 911 on me if they draft a cornerback. I'm serious. I might just go mental here.
You don't
I might
mean
go
in the entire draft. You don't mean you mean at number five.
Oh, I might just try to play tag with a semi on Dale Mabry.
You want a D end or a D tackle? That's what you
not
want.
Not just that. How many freaking draft picks you got to spend on a blankety blank cornerback? And it's if you can't pick one by now, then just admit it. You don't know what you're doing, and go buy one. Where, oh my God, a number five.
Hey, where's Hargraves right now? Where is he on the depth chart? Where is he?
Well, look, I'm sure next week we'll get an update on his injury as far as if they expect
him
back.
Is he an outside guy? Is he a slot guy? What is he?
Well,
he's hurt.
I'm gonna throw out whatever the last regime thought. I don't know. I mean, we know that Todd Bowles likes to blitz and play tight cover. You would assume that Hargraves can do that, but I don't know. All I know is that he's, as a first-round pick, the guy was benched in year two. And hurt in year three, so right now he's just another question mark on the roster.
Here's how adamant I am against drafting a cornerback.
More than playing tag with a semi?
Yeah, this is next step. This is next level. I would rather see Jason Light draft Kyler Murray than a cornerback.
Wow. Wow.
What was Matt Millen's downfall? Matt Millen. Every year he drafted a wide receiver in the first round, and only once did he get one. And granted, he's a Hall of Famer. Only once. And to hell with the rest of the team. Let's keep going after wide receiver. That's what you're doing here. If you drafted, I'm sorry, I don't mean to stomp on your loafers.
And I still say I wouldn't be shocked if they drafted a quarterback in the third or fourth round. Wouldn't shock me.
No, but actually, you know, going to playing off Lee, Ira, do you think Kyler Murray could play cornerback?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You saw my column about Antonio Brown. Pass on Brown unless he wants to shadow Julio Jones. Then give him a chance.
Yeah. All right.
So I will be willing to lay cash. Kyler Murray could play cornerback better than MJ Stewart.
Down on MJ Stewart. You are down on MJ
What's
Stewart.
What's he done?
What's he done?
Now, here's the thing. You know, people bring this up, and I bring it up, too, in my article. I love Jordan Whitehead's physicality. But we got to be real here, as they would say, and the kids would say. We got to be real. Here was a guy that struggled to get a starting job on one of the worst NFL defenses in history without Chris Conte. I mean, Chris Conte has been stiffed arm out of the league, the best I could tell. And Jordan Whitehead, yeah, I know he's a rookie, but, I mean, if you're halfway decent at all, he should have been starting.
Steve, has Carl Nassib done enough in your eyes to give you some kind of a comfort level that you got a couple of decent you got one elite defensive end and a pretty good defensive end on the left side. What's your comfort level with Nassib?
It's not that comfortable, but Jason Light loves the guy, and so I think they have massive high hopes for him. And
doesn't mean you don't draft the D end at number five.
No, but I think they absolutely love Nassib. Whitehead, I'll take a little disagreement with Whitehead. He did start.
Late in the season.
He started 11 games. I double-checked it because I thought he was a starter. And
After
Conte went down, but we've talked so much about how the defensive backs coaches and Mike Smith completely were clueless. Maybe they just didn't know what to do with the guy.
That's very fair.
You know what? I noticed him more in run support lead than I did in pass coverage.
Whitehead was I love his physicality.
He made a couple of good sticks.
Yeah, I love that. And legal, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So I love that. So, and, you know, Steve Biggs up, excellent point. And that's something I used to scream about for a couple of years, that the Bucks had no idea how to coach up young secondary players. That's a very fair point.
And that's why I agree with Lee of you don't draft this year the cornerback at number five, because if we all acknowledge that the coaching was crap, then you've got all these young corners. Odds are with better coaching and a little bit of experience, one of them's going to step through, and then let's see who that is and get Morris Claiborne or the guy out of Indianapolis, and then you got something to work with, and then get the corner next year if you need need a corner. So I'd rather see what the coaching does with all these young guys.
Have you filed your grievance yet, Isbit?
No.
You have a grievance?
I haven't filed my grievance.
I think I know what it is. He might have a good point. I was unfair on our last podcast.
As long as it's a grievance against you, I'm all for it.
No. I don't think you guys know what it is.
All right.
Andre Ellingsworth. The Bucks signed another Arians friend. And this guy out of football last year, running back.
Out of football.
And that's pretty impressive when you're out of football and not hurt the year before. He's 30 years old.
First 2 years under Arians, pretty productive. First 2 years.
Yeah, when they made him the starter in his second year, he was garbage. So he went back to a role player, and seemed like a decent role player.
Well, they had Chris Johnson and David Johnson.
Arians cut the guy in 2017. He went to the Texans, and then he was out of the league.
That was Arians' last year in Arizona.
Yeah. So here he is. Now, I understand he's a camp body, but I don't know if that's very impressive. What do you think of that?
He's a camp body. That's well said, Steve. He's a camp body.
Could have been just like a favor, like, hey, camp body, come
perhaps,
on in.
Okay. Perhaps.
I wanted to bring this up to you, Eric, because you have made that joke many times. You know, Arians and his staff of 57 coaches and all his friends and all that stuff. Well, I wrote it up the other day, and I just wanted your take. Lee spoke eloquently a couple of times, and one was quite funny about a month ago about Joe Gilbert, the O-line coach. And I wrote was waiting to get around to it, Todd McNair, the running backs coach. The guy hasn't coached outside of high school since working at USC back in 2010. And he is the running back coach. Now, he had a lawsuit against the NCAA. He lost. He said it sort of made him mental. He was on food stamps for a while, and he got a second trial recently granted, and now he's back in football with the Bucks, and he's the running backs coach. Do you think Arians did everything he could for the Buccaneers organization to get the best coach possible, or he just trusts his friend? What's going on here?
I think it's a legitimate subject. We'll see. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they got a running back coach, they got an offensive line coach, then they got a running game coordinator. Why can't Goodwin be the offensive line coach? I don't understand. Isn't that his background? Goodwin? Offensive line coach? Lee, am I wrong on that one?
Yeah, he may be.
It sounds a little strange. Run game coordinator? I mean, don't you coach a position group? Steve, I think you've singled out a guy right there. Look, there's euphoria about Bruce Arians for a lot of reasons right now. But it's a legitimate area in terms of, he has tried to take care of old partnerships, renew them. Maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't, but it's a legitimate area to keep an eye on as the season progresses. He's got one big coaching staff.
It was from a very good source, Ira. I heard that Arians' middle school teacher, a PE teacher back in 63, will be joining the Buccaneers next
That's a
week.
Cheap shot. Cheap shot, Stevie. Cheap shot.
Hey, I hope these guys are the best, but look, they'll be able to. At least they'll all be on the same page. But the McNair thing is fascinating.
We got to see, in Lee's words, and it's a constant theme with the Kemper, and I'm not saying he's wrong. Develop. You've drafted. Where's the development?
Yeah.
It goes hand in hand. Other teams do it. New England, of course, the great example.
Yeah, all right, Ira, I want to ask about one of your friends right now. See what Lee thinks as well.
Friends.
Oh, you got plenty of friends.
The
Come
Cadillac
on,
people. They're your friends.
There you go. You got your great friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. No gear on today. Must be in the wash.
Caldeco Air, my friends at the Identity.
Hopefully, we will have a new announcement coming up about the Tampa 2 show on the Identity Tampa Bay. Hopefully,
Spectrum Sports. They're my friends over there, Steve. Sirius Radio, they're my friends.
Lee, I've noticed a trend. Anybody who gives Ira money is his friend.
I'm getting three calls a day from Sirius Radio. They can't wait for me to renew my subscription. I told them I bought a car 2 months ago. I got a 3-month subscription. I still got Sirius. Take it easy. Boy, those people are relentless over there, Steven.
Are you telling them to call Russo?
And by the way, I am renewing Sirius. I don't want to be a shill for Sirius, but you boys both know. If it's a choice between local radio and Sirius, that ain't no contest.
Well, I have some friends in local radio, but the only thing I will say is there is a reason I buy Sirius and have for years.
And that's a paywall. It's not a lot of money.
No,
but you got to pay.
$12 a month.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a reason why I buy that.
I'm with you.
All right, Ira. One of your friends, this is how I started this, Warren Sapp. He was chatting at the Super Bowl on an obscure little show.
How do you find these shows, Steve?
Gotta look for him, Ira. Gotta look for him.
Called Google.
he was talking, and he was...
This is a 5,000-watt radio station you're talking about.
I'll read this to you. He's asked about Arians, and he's very upbeat about Arians, and he says, quote, we done got us now a defensive coordinator and a head coach who know what they're doing. Not anybody backstabbing.
Classic 99, classic.
Not anybody backstabbing and all that. It's all right up on the table. Arians is going to bring the boys in with the Kangol. We'll be fine. Buck Nation will be fine. What do you make of him? I mean, Sapp usually stops short of literally blasting a head coach or a defensive coordinator. He'll dance around it. He'll take shots at other guys, but not the Bucks like that. We done got us now a defensive coordinator and a head coach who know what they're doing.
I think part of it is that Sapp has gotten signals from the Arians regime that he is welcome at one Buck place, almost kind of anytime, anywhere, the door's open. And that means a lot to Sapp, and I don't think necessarily he got those same signals from the previous regime. They did bring him out on occasion, but he wasn't a fixture. Now it sounds like this guy's going to be around, which is good for you and I, because we'll get him on the podcast, and it'll be sensational. And he's going to fill our notebooks, Lee. But I think part of it, look, we know Sapp. He wants to feel welcome around one Buck place. He feels he's got something to contribute. He thinks he can do as much as Simeon Rice did when he came out. And remember when Simeon Rice was working with Noah Spence, and Noah Spence turned around and talked to us an hour later and said, I just learned 7 things I never knew before. And the three of us said, Where the hell's the coaching around here? Never heard of these things?
I got one word to say.
Go ahead.
Who?
Who? Who on Noah Spence? Yeah, I understand. He's still on the roster, Lee.
Who?
Still on the roster. But I think it's Sapp's way of saying, hey, I'm welcome here, and I'm going to talk up Coach Arians. I don't think they've got a deep abiding relationship over the years, nor does he have one with Todd Bowles. But I think it's Sapp's way of saying, I can't wait to contribute. As far as this backstabbing, I can't wait to get Sapp to try to explain that.
I know what that is.
What is that? What does that mean, Lee?
There is a cabal in the NFL.
Good word. Good word, baby.
I'm trying to come up with the proper words to say it. Like, click, in other words. It's a Dungy click.
Father Dungy?
Yeah, Father Dungy. You know, everybody, people like Dungy. There's a click. And all the stuff you hear, the backstabbing type stuff about Light and Cutter, all connected to Dungy's click. Every one of them. Every one of them. You don't hear people who have no connection to Dungy at all saying, oh, Light's a backstab. Oh, Cutter's a backstab. You only hear that from people who have connections to Dungy, whether it be directly or indirectly.
So you think he was alluding to the firing of Lovie Smith?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Because Lovie Smith's son... And you know, obviously his son went on all the national things, basically said his dad was all but raped by Light and Cutter. You know, Dungy's talking behind the scenes.
Other people have.
There's someone we both know that does not live in Tampa Bay that also is saying that, and that guy's directly connected to Dungy. Yeah, it's all coming from the Dungy. Greg Gabriel, who worked with Lovie, he went on Twitter saying, you know, Light's going to get his. All the people that are claiming backstabbing are coming from the same river. It may be a different creek. It may be a different stream. It's all coming from the same river.
And, of course, Lovie was on Dungy's staff when Sapp was playing.
Yes, okay. Yes. It's all coming from the same river. Now, when Sapp talks about the Bucks coaches not in a backstabbing way, but in as far as lack of quality.
Well, they know what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's remember, him and McCoy talk weekly. Now, I'll just leave it at that.
Well said. Well said. Just like Brooks and Winston, I believe they talk on a week.
Derek's been very open about that, which is very interesting on so many levels. Remind everybody, if you've listened this long, you have an opinion about the podcast, fire off a review.
Yeah, we need more comments.
We have some. I haven't read them in a while, but we'll read some maybe next week when Lee's out or the week after, whatever. Leave a review. It's fun.
Lee, you're not leaving until Tuesday. We might be able to squeeze you into that early podcast.
On Monday?
Yeah.
All right, Ira. Now, I got to get to my grievance.
Of course. Uh-oh.
Okay, so I'm listening to the last podcast, and you made the very bold statement that Jameis Winston is a top 12 to 15 quarterback in the National Football League.
That's where I had him picked.
And Lee agreed with you. And I got to say, man, Ira, I think it would be impossible to say that Jameis Winston is the 12th best quarterback in the National Football League. But I'm going to give this to you. I'll throw it to you because to clarify, not to put you on the defensive here, but what's the criteria? Are we just looking at a scouting talent as if they're all at the combine? I mean, what are we talking about?
I think we're looking at the eye test. And I mentioned on that podcast, and I mentioned two guys in particular. And Steve, you might have a problem with it. I think he's better than Marcus Mariota. I think he's better than Andy Dalton.
I'll give you both of those.
Okay.
Is he better than Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
Better completion percentage? 22?
I don't know that he's better than Dak Prescott.
I'm not a big Dak Prescott guy. He's okay.
He's in the conversation. He's in the conversation.
Of being better?
Of being as good. Prescott's got Ezekiel Elliott, and Jameis Winston does not. Now, Winston's got better targets than Prescott, to be fair.
I don't know. I'd love to hear your 12.
Prescott's got a better offensive line. He does.
Are you sure about that?
Are you what?
They 1 year they did.
They.
I got a grievance against you now. What did you just say? The Cowboys don't have a better offensive line than the Bucks.
Last year?
Are you listening, Buck Nation?
He's not wrong.
Last year they weren't special
You're
anymore.
You're defending Isbitts?
Everybody screams like the Cowboys are the 76 Raiders. Their offensive line had one good year, very good year, but they're pedestrian.
Is he better than Deshaun Watson?
They run for 2,000 yards every freaking year.
Thank you, Ezekiel Elliott.
Is he better than Deshaun Watson? 26 touchdowns, 9 picks, playoffs, phenomenal record, leader, 11-5.
I don't think Deshaun Watson took a step up last year.
That's not what I asked you. I don't care about step up, Dan. Is Jameis Winston better than Deshaun Watson?
I think he's in the conversation.
What does that mean?
I think you could argue it.
They're about even.
I think you can argue. Thank you, Lee. So finally, DeKemper back.
So they're tied for 11th best.
Keep going. Who else you want to throw?
There's a lot
out
of names. I don't know.
Stafford.
Mitch Trubisky. You want to throw him out there? I mean, you know,
no, I didn't want to throw him
I'm
out
not
there.
Talking about Jared Goff. I'm not talking about Carson Wentz.
I understand. Well, you know what? Next podcast, maybe I'll make a list, and I'm going to pin you down. I think top 12. My point, Ira, is top 12, I think, is impossible. And I'll say this.
Because you got three in the division.
No. If he's top 12, then why is there any discussion whatsoever about bringing this guy back, signing him long term? If he's top 12, line him up.
Because he's the number one pick in the draft, and he should be better than that. How do you like that?
There are guys on our website that comment multiple times a day. Freaking Jameis could average 4 touchdowns a game, 350 yards a game. And they'd still want to get rid of him. I mean, Jameis could snap his fingers and give this area a rapid transit train system. And they wouldn't run him off.
Nonsense. Now, why do you keep focusing on number 12? Why don't you focus on number 15, which means middle of the pack?
Because I think 12 is impossible. So that's why I don't understand 12, but I'm open to to trying to understand.
He's flummoxed.
I'd say maybe.
He's a little flummoxed.
I'd say 15 to 17.
I got him better than Eli Manning. I think he's better than Eli Manning.
Yeah, right now, yeah.
We can, maybe we'll play with the list in the summer. We'll horn in on it. I don't know. Do you put him ahead of Baker Mayfield?
I think it's too early to tell.
Based on just last year, no.
Based on last year, no. I'm with Lee on that.
All right, so the numbers get interesting. You know, you were talking about he's got to be a Pro Bowler. There's only 6 Pro Bowl quarterbacks each year. Couple of guys fill in, there's 8 or 9. Yeah, you know, it's tough sledding for Jameis.
Number one pick, 12 to 15, I don't think that's a good enough return. I don't think it's good enough.
Yeah, but who cares where
he's got to be top 10.
Once you draft a guy, that should not matter
at all. Thank you.
If you can't produce, you shouldn't get a starting job just because you're number one.
Yeah, once he's on the team, who cares when he was drafted?
I mean, right? Should Quan Alexander sit because he was a 4th-round pick?
Hey, they're giving him another chance. They're giving him one more year under a new regime.
What does he need another chance for if he's already 12th best?
He needs another chance. I don't know enough about him.
All right, get out of here, Calvin. We'll see you next week.